much. It's nice to see all of you guys here together. Usually I just have these four girls here. It's kind of nice to have Miss Debbie's kids, and we've got one of Tara's kids here. So we've got most of the youth group here with us today, Larry.
That's a good thing, because we're going to try to pull together any kind of a Christmas play. We need to get busy and get to work on it.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that another year has come and gone already, isn't it?
It is. You got any ideas how you want to go about this?
Well, you know, I had the thought that I really wanted to spotlight our kids. We've spent years. I mean, I know I have, and I know you have, because you teach the adults, which is kind of different. But I've taught for a very long time, and you wonder, do they remember any of that stuff? Have they really learned anything? But tonight, Hope asked me some questions out in the hallway that were mind-boggling. And you think the kids aren't learning anything? This one right here asked me some questions that I couldn't believe was coming from a 7-year-old. So they really are learning things, and I wanted to kind of share that with everybody at church and let them see what their kids have learned and how they've grown over the years. And some of them, I understand, have some talents that have been kind of hidden, and maybe we could pull that out and let everybody see their talents as well.
Okay. Basically, you want to tell the Christmas story.
Yeah.
Showcase their talents. Maybe we could just maybe read some scriptures and start pulling out, you know, the information about the birth and so forth. Maybe we could have some songs, some music, and that thing kind of interjected in there and at appropriate times.
Yeah, that'd be great. What do you guys think about that? Would you all be willing to work with that?
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, I think everybody probably really enjoy that. But if we're going to tell the story of Christ, we need to tell at least some of where he came, how he came, and most importantly, why he came. You know, you can tell about the birth, and it's a story that probably everybody was familiar with, but we really need to know those things, why he came most importantly, because there was a purpose to his birth. He didn't come just so we could have Christmas. There was a purpose behind that. So let's see if we can maybe find some scriptures that will foretell his coming, and then maybe we can find some that will show where it's fulfilled.
Okay.
How would that be?
Now, do you want to tell all the good stuff, or you want to go into some of the bad stuff, because his birth cost, it cost.
Yeah. Because before he came, there was some really sad times, and there was, and I know you don't use them upstairs, but we use the quarterlies downstairs in our Sunday school class. And it seemed like every single one was in the Old Testament, and it was always desolation. It was sad. It was like there was hopelessness. And Israel, which you guys know who Israel is now. How many times have you been told that in Sunday school? Israel, no matter how hard they tried, they'd do good for a little bit, and then they'd slide back into sin. And it always just seemed like there was a hopelessness in the Old Testament. But I think there's some scriptures in there, too, that maybe hold out some promise.
Well, then maybe we do a little bit of both and maybe go back and look at the dark side for a moment and then bring in about his name and where he's going to be born and this kind of thing.
Oh, that'd be good.
So maybe tie them together a little bit.
You know, and just one other thing, and we've done this a few times in class, but when I was a kid and going to Sunday school and church, my Sunday school teacher had Bible drills, and that's why I told everybody to make sure they brought their Bibles tonight. When she wanted us to find something, she would just say where she wanted us to find. And then, of course, as children, we didn't understand the purpose was so that we would learn more things were in the Bible. But we thought it was a treat to be able to read those verses. So whoever found that verse got to read it. So maybe we could kind of do something along those lines.
Okay.
What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
sounds like a good idea.
So, Jake, do you have a Bible?
He forgot.
He can use mine.
Okay.
We'll share with him.
Okay.
All right, so if I want to tell a little bit about this story, and I want to get into some of maybe the darker scripture before I get into the better scriptures, the more fun ones, maybe we could look at Jeremiah 31.
Do you guys know where Jeremiah is? Yes, the Old Testament.
The Old Testament.
Near the end.
It's near the end. someone finds Jeremiah 31, let me know. Savannah, what verse, Larry?
Probably just the 15th verse would be good.
Okay, and you know, if we're going to spotlight, when we have this program, if we're going to spotlight your talents and have you get used to speaking in front of people, maybe we could practice tonight and have you just walk up to the microphone and read it. Do you think, would you be okay with that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Thus saith the Lord, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children refused to be comforted for her children because they were not.
Yeah. Sad time. So God had purpose in all of this. And if you get into some of the scriptures, as we're going to hear eventually, people did things they weren't really aware that they were fulfilling God's purpose, but they did. And this was one of them. And Rachel weeping for her children is a very nice way saying her children were dead.
Yeah.
They were dead. But let's look at some of the more fun ones, a little lighter, because we forget about this for a lot of times, but it's good to remember that his birth cost.
It cost a great price.
It did. So if you want to look at some of the background things you were talking about, maybe we want to look at his birth as far as where he was born, who he was born from, his lineage, and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think we need to kind of go into all that.
Well, let's try Isaiah chapter 7. Who can find that one?
I found that.
Would you mind reading that for us, Jack?
Yeah.
And what verse, Larry, probably did you want him to read?
Let's look at the 14th verse.
Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel.
Wow. Now remember what we're talking about in Bible times. Can you imagine the talk that was going on? I mean, really? A virgin is going to have a baby? Now what do you think people were talking about? A lot of rumors, no doubt. Isn't there a song about rumors?
I think that's when Sarah sings.
Sarah, who do you think?
You want me to sing?
Yeah, would you please?
Such a thing could believe that this story
true. And who do you think could believe such a thing? Well, here's hoping to heaven you do.
Okay, so I've been taking a few little notes. We know that there's a time of darkness at the time of his birth. We know that he's going to be born of a virgin. While we're in Isaiah, we could go over to the 9th chapter. He will give us some of his names. He will also tell us about his lineage. So maybe we could get somebody to read that one.
Sarah found it. What verses did you want, Larry?
Probably 7 through 14.
No,
I'm sorry, maybe.
So.
No, that might be a little long. How about maybe 6 through 7?
Okay. Yeah, I think that'll give us more of what we're looking for right now.
For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of this increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this.
That gives us a lot of his names, doesn't it?
It does. Quite a few names. I like how he puts this. It tells us here he's going to be from the throne of David.
Yeah.
So he has that. He's going to come from a virgin, but also through the lineage of David.
Right.
But I like that last sentence in there, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, that God's going to do this.
Right.
There's nothing we can do about it.
Right.
So
right.
It's
so
going to get done.
Even though the world is dark and they weren't ready for him, he was going to come anyway.
Yep. Yes, okay, so we've got a virgin, we've got a from the root of David. You're looking for a place.
Yeah.
So maybe we could look at, let me think, is that Micah?
Yeah,
maybe
you guys know where that is? That's another
chapter.
One of those small ones that are toward the end. You know where that is?
Oh, I found it.
Grayson, that was great. Where did you stay in Micah, Larry?
I think it's the 5th chapter, along about the 2nd verse, I think it is.
But thou, Bethlehem, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting.
From everlasting. Isn't that an interesting word?
Yes, it is. Okay, so we got a virgin birth in the root of David in the city of Bethlehem. It seemed like he came out of Egypt also, of all places.
I know, because Egypt, doesn't that kind of represent sin, the world? And Israel was God's people, and Egypt kind of, when you read about Egypt, you kind of always think of the worldly side. So isn't that interesting that he would come out of Egypt?
Let me look here real quick. I'm thinking this is in Hosea chapter 11.
Oh, I found it.
Jeffrey?
All right.
What verse did you want him to read, Larry?
I think just the first one is all that we would need.
Just the first one?
Just the first one.
When Israel was a child, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt.
So he called his son out of Egypt. So he called him out of the world.
It also says he's a child.
Yes.
Over in Bethlehem, he's born in Bethlehem.
And he's a babe.
He's a babe. But this is a child. So there's a time difference
in
here somewhere.
Passed. Does anybody have any idea how many years that was?
Is that close to three?
3-4 years.
I think it's in Revelation, I think it tells us 1,260 days, which comes out to almost 3.5 years.
So 3 to 4 years.
Yeah.
Boy, for somebody who reads the Bible, that's an interesting amount of time, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. All right, so we got him coming out of Egypt. We know he's virgin birth. He's coming out of the root of David in the city of Bethlehem. So that gives you several prophecies. And also in Isaiah, there was all those names we got to deal with. And he all fulfilled all those,
right?
But not necessarily at his birth. But there's a lot of titles in there.
Right.
So maybe we should just kind of figure out some way to transition from the Old Testament and start looking at the New Testament, how he fulfilled some of this stuff.
Yeah, that was kind of my idea, that first we would read the prophecy, and then we would read where it was fulfilled. But
maybe you could separate with like a song.
Maybe some music. I understand that we have some people here that's got some talents that they really haven't displayed at the church. One young man in particular, I understand, has a gift for the guitar, and no one here has heard him play. And I think that's Grayson. Would you be willing to play for us?
For you, I will.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's very talented.
Yeah. Have you guys heard him?
Yeah.
I actually saw him on YouTube, so I've heard him before, so I'm kind of blessed, I think.
Oh,
love's pure light. Radiant beams from thy holy face. With the dawn of redeeming grace. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth. Jesus, Lord, at thy birth.
Yeah, that would be great, Savannah. If you'll do that twice, that would be great. Good job.
It is. That's called a transition well.
Yeah, it is.
So if you're looking to now tell the story,
yeah,
and Matthew and Luke gives the best accounts.
Yeah.
And one will give you a little bit more detail on one event, and then Luke will fill in some blanks on another event. So you almost have to toggle back and forth between Matthew and Luke to kind of get a whole picture of everything in there.
We're moving into the New Testament now.
Yeah, okay. So if I was going to look at the story, I'd probably start with Matthew. In the very first chapter, and probably start down about the 18th verse. Anybody wants to find that?
I can do that.
Super.
Thanks, Rachel.
Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privily. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
There's actually two names in there. First one, it was prophesied about Emmanuel, which is God is with us. The other one is Jesus, which means Savior. Yes. If he is with us, you have a Savior.
Yeah, so there is hope.
Yes, there is.
There is hope for me.
Yes, he is.
He's for a dark world.
A lot of names. A lot of names.
Yeah, so then we have a lot of titles,
Mary.
And every one meant something.
Yeah, talked about Mary here and being espoused to Joseph. And there's that virgin they talked about way back in Isaiah.
Yeah. Well, I think when Rachel said the prophet, that's who it was referring to, I believe, was Isaiah.
Yeah. I've often wondered, I mean, there's probably no doubt at this time thousands of young women.
Unmarried. Who'd heard this story
and maybe it's going through their mind.
I wonder if
it's me. Mm-hmm. And then this angel came and talked to her. And it's her.
Yeah, it's her. But you know what's truly amazing about that? When he came to her, she wasn't exalted. She said, Behold, the handmaiden of the Lord.
Yeah.
So even then, she wasn't exalting herself. She was a servant.
So there's a lot in that one. Probably want to go back and get about the children.
Yes.
Well, let's just stay in Matthew then and take this over in the second chapter.
Is that one that maybe one of the smaller, like one of Tara's kids can do? Or is there one coming up? Maybe they can help
them? Yeah, but we'll get that a little bit later. It's in Matthew, but we'll get that one a little bit later. I think this one is a little bit harder, so... Maybe we need one of the bigger kids.
I just didn't want these little guys to kind of feel left out.
Yeah, what? We'll figure something out for them here in a little while, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 through 18, I think, is would fit in there nice now.
Anybody found it?
I found it.
Oh, Savannah, could you read that for us?
Yeah.
Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem, and in all the coasts thereof, from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy the prophet, saying, "In Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, and great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not."
That's just like what we read in Jeremiah when we started.
Yeah, Herod was a very evil king, very
yeah.
evil man.
But there's Rachel weeping for her children, and they were dead.
Yep. Because he was afraid that this child would grow up to take his throne.
Yeah, you guys remember when we did all those lessons, and I kept telling you that God didn't want Israel to have a king, but they insisted that they have a king. And so they did, and now here's the king. And he's heard about the prophecy of another king coming, and he's very afraid that he's going to lose his kingdom. So some really bad things happened about that time. Does it kind of remind you of something we talked about today?
Oh, yeah, like the shooting over in Connecticut.
And a lot of innocent children died. Well, a lot of innocent children that were just babies died here because Herod was afraid. Just evil people. That's what evil will do for you.
Did you even imagine what they were thinking when they did that?
No, and really, I can't even imagine the soldiers who carried it out. I mean, Herod told them to kill all the babies. But can you imagine if you were one of the soldiers that had to go get an innocent child and kill it? I mean, I can't imagine any of it. It's all beyond me.
It is. Well, you want to continue here with the birth story?
Yes.
Okay. So we know about Mary now and Joseph. Probably, again, like I was saying earlier, it goes from Matthew to Luke back and forth to really get a good picture of it. So maybe it might be a good place to go over to Luke in the first chapter.
Okay.
Let's see here.
Jack, you're good at this. Yeah, Jack's already there. What verses did you want?
You could read probably the 26th, 27th, maybe 30 and 31.
All right.
In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, and thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus."
Wow. So that's a little bit of the lineage again, too, because Joseph was out of the house of David. So that kind of gives us a little bit of his background. That'd be a good one to include.
Yep, so do that one.
Can you use the pen for a second? Thank you.
You also want to talk a little bit about purpose.
Yeah, I think that if you don't know why he came, then there's no reason to tell the story. I mean, we all celebrate a birth, but this birth was for a reason. And he came for a very specific reason. So we really need to focus a little bit on why, I think.
Well, if we were to go back to Matthew, the fourth chapter, I think there's a bit of scripture there that will tell you a little bit more about his purpose. You got the fourth chapter?
I do. What verses do you need?
Let me look here just a moment.
Looks like 13 might work.
I think you're right. Probably about the 13th.
Maybe
down through the 16th.
I can do that.
Let's do that.
And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt into Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Esaias the prophet, saying, "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people which sat in darkness saw great light, into them which was sat in the region, and shadow of death light has sprung up."
That was good. That was a good reading and some hard words. You did a great job. Wait, now he's got a different job. He's the light.
He is the light.
In the world of darkness.
He tells us in another spot, there is no variableness in him. So his job is then to show light to a lost and dying world, and that's what he did then, is still what he's doing tonight. To them which sat in the dark, in the regions of darkness, in the shadow of death, that was us.
Yeah, you know, you're not kidding.
That was us. I know you teach the younger kids, and I teach the adults, but I often tell them, don't forget where you came from.
Right.
So he's showing a great light. So he, again, maybe getting back here to some of this other stuff, and you wanted to bring in hope. We talked about, you know, calling his son out of Egypt. This might be a good one for a hope to read.
Yeah, I think you might be right.
Yeah, I think this is the one. Can you find Matthew chapter 2?
And do you want to do it, Hopi?
Do you mind doing that?
Okay.
Thank you. Verses, which ones did you want her to read, Larry?
14 and 15.
When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, "Out of Egypt have I called my son."
We find Egypt, and he called him out of Egypt, so he called him out of the world. There's a song that's really difficult, and it's called "What Child Is This?" And it's a really hard song to play and sing.
Hey, Jackie, I don't think I can handle this one. Can you come help me?
Hey, Mel, I think Rachel can sing that one.
Think you could do it?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Jeff, will you come and help with this one?
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius the governor was the governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one, into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was in the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that, while they were there, and the days were accomplished, she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was an angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And it came with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they had made known abroad, and saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told but to them by the shepherds.
Scripture. That was certainly a very special night. In fact, there's a song, I think it's called O Holy Night.
Sister Della sung that this morning.
Della sung it for us a couple times. I wonder, would one of you be willing to sing that?
How about you, ma'am? Do you want to sing it?
Stars are brightly shining in
judge on
wish
us.
You had a voice like that.
Yeah, all the time.
What a night.
That's pretty good. Yeah, that's a very good job. Very good job. There was a, while you're in Luke, he fulfilled some of the law while he was there, but there was somebody that was looking for him besides Mary and Joseph.
Yeah.
We might want to work that little scripture in there too,
definitely,
while we're there here in Luke. In the second chapter, it goes on down there, I think it's about the 21st verse, maybe down to about the 35th.
I can read that.
You can read that one? Thank you.
And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of the purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of 2 turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through thy own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he has a new title now, Salvation.
Yes, he does. He has a lot of names. A lot of names. But, yeah, I still want to get back to this purpose thing. We only have one scripture for purpose.
But I think there's a couple more that make it really, really plain. I mean, it's so simple that a child can understand why he came. Maybe in John? In the John 18?
I think Jacob too.
Jacob, you got that one?
Yeah.
Okay, why don't you come over here then?
I'm going to go up to the mic and read it, buddy.
Oh, I thank you, Mom.
You're welcome.
John 18:37.
Okay, now remember, if you're going to do this, because when it's the day of the play, you got to say it just like you're talking to these people, okay? All right.
Okay.
Let's do it. Do it, buddy.
All right. Thou
sayest
that I am a king to this, and was I born, and for this cause came into the world.
Beautiful job, Jacob.
Yeah.
Good job.
Jacob.
Good job, buddy.
Thank you, Jake.
Great job. Great job.
So he just told you why I came. For this cause came I into the world.
Yep.
So he knew when he came as a babe what he came here for. Isn't that amazing?
Mm-hmm. There is. There's one more I'd like to work in if we could. And it's over in the book of Acts, in the 4th chapter.
Oh, I found that.
We'll go and read.
What verse?
I need, I'm thinking maybe verse 12 would be perfect. Chapter 4, book of Acts.
That's
okay.
You guys are doing a great job.
Yeah, you are. Look at this stuff up and off you go.
Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved.
No other name.
No. other name. There's a song, and we don't hear it sung here very often. They play it a lot during the offertory. What a lovely name. Maybe we could practice that. What do you guys think? Because there's no other name given.
I think it might be nice to put in here.
Yeah, let's see if we could sing that. What page is it on?
I think it's on page 4 and 5.
I think it's 4.
Jack, turn off your phone.
Yeah, there it is.
Page 4. Verse that you all read to us, that he was called Emmanuel, which means God with us. But he had lots of other titles, and we've kind of referred to some of them, but didn't you do some research one time and you wrote down a whole bunch of his titles?
I did that,
and
yes.
I think you even maybe taught one time on what some of those titles meant, but it would be a wonderful thing, I think, if you just read some of those titles for us. That there's a song that to me, you can't hardly have church without. And it's called Amazing Grace. I mean, really, everything about the story that we've told tonight's amazing. It's amazing that that he was willing to leave and come here as a babe and suffer death.
Yes.
And it's amazing that he's still reigning today and he's still saving people like me.
Right.
Like me, I didn't have anything to offer him. But he had everything to offer me. And so if we could, let's practice Amazing Grace. I think it's here also.
Yeah,
and Larry, if you
I
would.
Think 303.
I think it's 303.
303?
And I heard Hope might be missing.
I think Hope is going to actually lead us in that one.
Yeah,
is that Hope, right, Hope?
Hope's been telling me she wants to sing that song.
He is the advocate. He is Alpha and Omega. He is the Amen. He is the apostle of our profession. He is the author and finisher of our faith. He is the beginning of the creation of God. He is the blessed and only pontiff. And he is the captain of our salvation. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the chief shepherd. He is our counselor. He is our day spring. He is the desire of all nations. He is Emmanuel, and he is the everlasting Father. He is that faithful witness, and he is the first and the last. He is the good shepherd, and he is the governor. He is the great high priest, and he is the head of the church. He is the heir of all things, and he is the Holy One. He is our horn of salvation, and he is the I Am. He is a just one. He is the King of the Jews, but he's also the Lamb of God. He is the life. He is the bread of life. He is the light of the world. He is the true light. He is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He is Lord God Almighty. He is Lord of our righteousness. He is our mediator. He is Messiah. He is the morning star. And he is the Prince of Peace. He is our prophet, our priest, and our king. He is our Redeemer. He is the resurrection and the life. He is the root of David. And he is Savior. He is the Son of God. And he is the Son of the Highest. But he's the Son of Man. And he's the Son of Righteousness. And he is the truth. He is the way. He is wonderful. He is the Word of God. And he is the Word of Life.